Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson's team of experts and strategic consulting approach utilize the latest technology. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's July the 3rd, 2007. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. He's in New Market, Indiana. In agricultural news, the USDA has given interim approval to a change in the organic regulations. The lack of soybean acres in the United States might shut down a few soybean oil processing plants for biodiesel. And the Farm Bill may include some crop insurance reductions. We'll have more on the agricultural news in just a few moments. Also today, we'll hear a commentary from the Farm Bureau. And don't forget that just after the bottom of the hour, meteorologist Don Day will join us for a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. So stay with us for this Tuesday edition of WILL AM 580's Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for a representative nearest you.
In Chicago on this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. July wheat at 571.5, up 2 cents. The September soft red was down a quarter at 583, and December futures at $5.97 in the wheat pit in Chicago, down a half cent for the day. July corn futures at $3.20 on their settlement, down 10.5. September's at 328.5, down 11.25. And December contract at $3.38, down 12 cents. July soybean futures, 850.5, down 14.5. The August at 855.75, down 15.25. And November beans at 882.25, down 15.5 for the afternoon. July bean meal futures at 232.60, down 320 for the day. July bean oil at 36.36. They were down 37 for the day. Over at the Mercantile Exchange, August feeder cattle settled at 111.55. They were up 60 cents. August live cattle, 30 cents higher at 89.97.5. And the October futures at $94.75, 27.5 cents higher. July lean hogs at $71.75 a hundredweight, 60 cents higher on the day. For Tuesday, August crude oil is now trading at $71.38 a barrel, up 29 cents. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average stands at 13,577. 0.3, and that's up just about 42 points at this hour. Our Illinois ethanol plant report on the weekly side today. Corn spot bid at selected ethanol plants as of 9 o'clock this morning. These are changes from week to week. The bid today at 314 to 334, the ethanol plants across the state. They were down 22 to down 29 cents from last week with a 25 under to a 5 under basis for the day.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange, as he does each and every Tuesday, is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Well, I think it's just time for a break in the marketplace. What do you say we take tomorrow off?
I think that'd be a real good idea, and I think all the bulls would be glad to take off what we've been doing here lately to these markets. Todd, it's been a rough week as far as anybody that was favorable these markets coming in here today has been. But, like I say, we saw a really big report last Friday, changed a lot of attitudes, and we're readjusting to those new numbers that are quite a bit different than what we had before last Friday.
Is 320 low enough for the lead month in the corn?
It depends on what the weather forecast does between now and the end of pollination, Todd. I think that that's going to tell us a lot. I think, depending on which acreage or which production number you use, and I think that that's going to depend a lot on, the number of the pollination time period. We're seeing that some are saying as low as 280 if we would get up that 150. 3 to 154 type yield for across the country. So, it may or may not be, but I think it should be a point of contention to hold until we get a little farther along through pollination or see that we do not run into some hot weather or extremely dry weather, some of the forecast change.
And then as you look out a bit further, and I think probably most producers have marketed what they want to have marketed, maybe not as much, but
have marketed now, but
quite a bit. Well, what's the opportunity after harvest if they go into storage?
I think that becomes a whole different ball game after once it gets locked away. The main thing we're looking at now is we have plenty of stocks to carry us into the new year. We have extremely tight storage and wide basis at harvest because we're going to have 6 to 7 more percent of bushels to put away this fall. Whether it's corn, whether it's beans, they all vie for the same bin space. And the elevators, the processors, nobody has room to take as much as will probably be available on the free market at that point in time without outside storage or basically piles in the ground. And I think that once it is put away, I think that you will find that the farmers will become extremely tight holders. They will want to see the basis move in before that they do, market that grain that they have put away in those expensive bins, because bins have really went up in the last couple of years putting them up, so they're going to want a little return for that. But, there is some opportunities after this. If you have bin storage, why we probably sit back and say don't do anything right at these levels. But if you don't have bin space, then it's a big worry between now and harvest time.
And generally, I don't ask this type of question because I don't think about it too much, but just on the brokerage side, is there a place when we get down to these levels or lower that you would think about taking some protection to the upside?
Well, sure. We talked about that with different producers today, ones that still have some crop to move, old crop that they did not move along, some of those that are thinking about moving some new crop that don't have some storage that would like to look at things. And at a point in time to give them the confidence to go ahead and sell and whatever, we do look at things as to wanting to buy some corn above the market. What if you're a livestock producer but don't have room to store all your needs, and but yet you're sort of scared of that coming bouncing back later, so we might want to buy some calls as for that run up to buy acres later on in the year. So yeah, there's definitely opportunities or thoughts of looking down the road at purchasing stuff. And remember, the board doesn't have to fall out of bed as bad the way these basis has been reacting on some of these levels. So sometimes we might not, we might be able to buy some call options that aren't so far out of the money because, the flat price might be low, but there might be a rebound there.
Now let's talk about the beans just a bit as well. The beans were lower today, but interestingly, if you look at the charts, it doesn't look too terribly bad despite a dime drop in the marketplace.
Well, when you've shot up 60 cents, a dime doesn't look too bad. A sixth of a move. If we'd moved 6 cents, or if we'd moved 12 cents and you took 2 cents off, you wouldn't think that much of it. But when you take a dime off, that looks pretty big. But I think, the same thing has to be taken and looked in respect there. We were above $9 beans yesterday. Had the chance to sell November beans above $9. January still above $9 this morning. Those are some pretty lofty levels. For this early this soon, with the kind of carryout we have, looking at things, we all are looking ahead next year. But at the over $9 level, Brazil is a lot more likely to plant those acres that they say that they wouldn't.
Hmm. What are farmers asking you most often in the last couple of days?
The phones haven't rang near as much, Todd. Just out of somewhat. Most everybody was probably caught leaning a little bit the wrong way in the corn market. The biggest question probably is, do you think beans can go to $10, and what's it going to take to get them there? And I think that, of course, the answer, of course, is number one, continued demand from China and other exporting nations. I don't think we can talk about biodiesel at these levels as much as pulling it in, but the other one, of course, is China. Will they keep importing beans to where they want to go, and how many acres will $9 beans buy?
And do you have any answers? What do you think? How many acres would $9 beans buy in Brazil?
We're hearing, Brazil, I think it's going to buy quite a few acres down there. I think we're going to get back to an increase we want. I think that we're hearing more and more of our farmers talk about the idea that if they can, if we can get up to, say, $9.20, they're considering very seriously doing hedged arrives or hedging some beans. and thinking about going back a little more to their 50-50 ratio that they had before this year.
Yeah, I was wondering about that as we went into through these summer months on the idea, and we've talked to several that are saying on the idea that they need to buy acres now, but once we get to the fall, that there'll be a pretty good wall of volume of all bushels, and that basis levels will not be very good, and it might be good to go ahead and market some of that crop today.
If you have fall crops that you do not have room for to store, either be talking to your elevator about storage or highly considering somehow pricing it, because we are going to have a lot of bushels, and the basis maybe won't get worse, but it probably isn't going to get better.
Okay, we'll let you go for the day.
Well, happy 4th to everybody. Safe celebrating. Enjoy the fireworks. And if you've got your own, which a lot of us do, be careful.
You too.
All righty.
All right. Thanks much. Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens each and every Tuesday afternoon.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible in part by a grant from Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. For information, call 866-837-9027.
Here's the forecast from Mike Solo for tonight. He says in northern Illinois, mostly sunny or mostly cloudy skies, scattered showers, a few thunderstorms arriving. Elsewhere, clear to partly cloudy, lows will range from 60 in central Indiana to 70 in northwestern Illinois. Tomorrow for the 4th in southern Illinois, mostly sunny skies, elsewhere partly to mostly cloudy, scattered showers and thunderstorms. Highs tomorrow from 83 in the north to 92 in the south. In today's agricultural news, the chairman of the House Ag Committee told reporters Friday he would propose cuts in crop insurance in order to fund increases in other parts of the farm bill. Although Colin Peterson did not specify how large the cuts would be, he says that between those cuts and some farm bill tinkering, the committee may come up with an extra $3 billion to use in other programs. Some of that money could go to help fruit and vegetable growers, Peterson suggests, and he noted needs in conservation and nutrition programs, too. Well, the ethanol boom is putting the squeeze on biodiesel. The extra corn acreage, as you already know, means that farmers planted 15% less land to soybeans in 2007. Dan Holsinger is the manager of the Clinton County Bioenergy, and that's in eastern Iowa. He says the price of soybean oil is almost to the point where it's not economically feasible to make biodiesel. It's not certain that biodiesel production in 2007 will top last year, says Joe Job, the chief executive officer of the National Biodiesel Board. He says if crude oil and diesel fuel prices remain relatively high, we'll still produce biodiesel in the United States. If diesel prices decline and go back below $2 a gallon, biodiesel plants will shut down. And finally today, USDA has given interim approval to a proposal that would allow 38 non-organic ingredients to be used in foods that carry the USDA organic seal. Organic food manufacturers push for the change, saying that the included ingredients are minor ingredients in their products and difficult to find in organic form. Many consumers, however, have complained. Organic food sales have more than doubled in the last 5 years, reaching $16.9 billion in the U.S. last year. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Kathy Ferguson in Morris at 815-941-3751. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, and equal housing lender.
USDA's July 2 crop progress report was released yesterday afternoon. It showed this week that 53% of the corn crop was in good condition, 20% was in excellent condition. Last week, those two figures were 54 and 19 for a virtual wash. The soybeans, at 53% good and 15% excellent, were in a little better condition than last week when they rated at 53% good and 13% excellent. Now, here are the statisticians from the top five corn-producing states in the nation with an update on their regions.
This is Brad Schwab, Chief Crop Statistician with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Illinois Field Office, reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending June 30th. Growing conditions were ideal across the state last week as the rains continued to fall and temperatures moderated. And while there were only 4.4 days suitable for field work, there were few complaining as nearly all areas of the state were reporting tremendous recovery and growth of their corn and soybean crops. Topsoil moisture levels and crop conditions continued their improvement last week, with cooler than average temperatures blanketing the state. On the downside, humidity levels were also high, which promoted the growth of gray leaf spot, rust, and other leaf diseases in corn. Fungicides were being applied by spray planes in many areas to combat these diseases, and insecticides were also being applied in corn to prevent silk clipping in corn fields from corn rootworm beetles and Japanese beetles. Rainfall during the week also slowed weed harvest and hay baling in most areas. Statewide, topsoil moisture continued to improve for the second straight week and was rated 2% very short, 16% short, 74% adequate, and 8% surplus. The corn crop continues to grow at a rapid pace, and in only 7 days, the average height increased by an amazing 13 inches. Corn height now averages a record 66 inches, well ahead of the 54 inches 1 year ago and 50 inches for the 5-year average. 32% of the corn crop had silked, which compares to only 9% 1 year ago and 13% for the 5-year average. Overall, the state's corn crop condition continued to improve and was rated mostly good to excellent. Soybean blooming was reported at 22%, which compares to 12% 1 year ago and 14% for the 5-year average. Overall, the state's soybean condition was rated mostly good to excellent. Limited harvested activities occurred in the soft red winter wheat crop due to above normal rainfall. Harvest advanced by only 5 percentage points to 78%, virtually the same as last year and the 5-year averages. The good news is the recent rains will provide the needed moisture to germinate double crop beans that were planted in dry topsoils and allow those who are waiting for better planting conditions to proceed. This has been Brad Schwab with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Joe Prusaki, State Director from USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office, with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending July 1, 2007. Most of our crops were able to survive a dry June due to high soil moisture at the beginning of the month. But with little rain in recent weeks, crops are beginning to show stress. Rains are now needed to replenish soil moisture level supplies. The statewide average precipitation was 0.10 inches, while normal for the week is 1.20 inches. Temperatures for the week as a whole average 1.3 degrees below normal. Weather conditions have been conducive to pesticide application. With most field work completed, grain movement has picked up as farmers clear out storage facilities in preparation of this year's fall crops. There were 6.2 days suitable for field work compared to 5.6 days last year at this time. Topsoil and moisture rated 29% very short or short, 67% adequate, and 4% surplus across Iowa. Subsoil moisture rated 16% very short or short, 75% adequate, and 9% surplus. The condition of the oat crop is 4% very poor, 22% fair, and 74% good or excellent. Oats heading are at 96%, 1 percentage point ahead of last year, but equal to the 5-year average. Oats turning color at 36%, 1 percentage point ahead of both last year and the 5-year average. Corn condition is rated 5% very poor, 19% fair, and 76% good or excellent. 5% of the corn is tasseling. Average corn height in Iowa is 51 inches, an increase of 15 inches from the previous week. Soybean condition is 4% very poor, 20% fair, and 76% good or excellent. Soybeans blooming are at 27%, ahead of last year's 18%, and the 5-year average is 16%. 95% of the first cutting of alfalfa is complete, while 10% of the second crop has been harvested. Both crops are behind last year and the 5-year average. All hay condition is unchanged from last week at 11% very poor, 32% fair, and 57% good or excellent. Pasture condition across Iowa is rated at 7% very poor, 31% fair, and 62% good or excellent. High temperatures and humidity at the beginning of the week caused stress for livestock, resulting in some poultry death. Fly populations continue to thrive in these conditions. This has been Joe Prusaki with USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Des Moines, Iowa, with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending July 1, 2007.
This is Steve Parn reporting Nebraska's weekly crop weather report for the week ending July 1, 2007. The lack of rain had many farmers irrigating to help maintain crop conditions. Corn conditions rated 85% good or excellent, well above last year's 64% rating. Irrigated fields rated 88% good or excellent, while dryland fields rated 78, both above year-ago levels. Soybean conditions rated 82% good or excellent, well above last year's 57% condition. Wheat conditions rated 60% good or excellent. Wheat harvested was 10%, 1 week behind last year and 4 days behind average. Alfalfa conditions rated 72% good or excellent, well above last year's 35%. Oat conditions rated 76% good or excellent, well above last year's 19%. Sorghum conditions rated 74% good or excellent, well above last year's 59%. Pasture and range conditions rated 71% good or excellent, well above last year's 17%. This has been Steve Parn of the USDA's NAS Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is Craig Anderson of USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office reporting the crop weather summary for the week ending June 24th, 2007. Small grains matured rapidly, pushed by another week of above normal temperatures. Nearly half of Minnesota's wheat, oats, and barley reached the heading stage with a small percentage turning ripe. Although nearly all of the areas of the state received some rain during the week, conditions of most crops fell slightly from a week ago. The average temperature for the week was 69.3 degrees, 2.6 degrees above normal. Statewide topsoil moisture supplies as of Friday were rated 4% very short, 20% short, 63% adequate, and 13% surplus. As of June 24th, alfalfa first cutting was estimated at 90% complete, compared to the five-year average of 80%. State average corn height was 39 inches, compared to 20 inches average. Soybean height was 10 inches, compared to 6 inches average. Spring wheat acreage was 46% headed, compared to the five-year average, 31%. 73% of spring wheat was rated in good or excellent condition, a slight decline from a week ago. 83% of field corn and 77% of soybeans were rated in good or excellent condition. Green peas were rated at 81% good or excellent, while pasture conditions declined to 60% good or excellent. That's the weekly crop weather for the week ending June 24th, 2007. I'm Craig Anderson with USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office.
Hello, this is Greg Preston, Director of the USDA NAS Field Office for Indiana, and this is the crop weather report for the week ending July 1. Scattered showers moved across portions of the state, bringing much-needed relief to the field crops. While the precipitation was not enough in most areas to alleviate the dry soils completely, it was very welcome. The moderate temperatures also helped lower some of the crop stress. Corn and soybean growth advanced rapidly due to the rain showers, which also helped green up some hay and pasture fields. Topsoil moisture was rated 18% very short, 34% short, 46% adequate, and 2% surplus. Subsoil moisture was rated as 23% very short, 38% short, 39% adequate, and 0% surplus. Precipitation ranged from 0.12 to 3.83 inches. Temperatures averaged from a high of 92 to a low of 51 degrees. For the week ending Friday, 4.5 days were rated as suitable for field work. 10% of the planted corn acreage has silt compared with 4% last year and 7% for the five-year average. The condition of the corn crop was rated as 55% good to excellent compared to 59% last year at this time. 15% of the soybean acreage is blooming compared with 3% for last year and 10% for the five-year average. The soybean condition was rated 46% good to excellent compared to 59% last year at this time. The winter wheat harvest is 49% complete compared with 35% last year and 47% for the five-year average. This is Greg Preston reporting from the Indiana NAS Field Office.
And I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Mark Report on WILL Urbana. This is AM 580. In about 2 minutes, I'll talk with agricultural meteorologist Don Day about the weather. Your regional newscast comes up next.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. A standoff between a burglary suspect and police ended peacefully today just outside the Urbana city limits. 30-year-old Daniel McElfresh barricaded himself in a motel room for an hour and 45 minutes this morning after police came to arrest him on burglary and other warrants. Champaign County Sheriff Dan Walsh says that McElfresh said he had a weapon but never used it. Instead, he surrendered peacefully around 12:16 p.m. today. Walsh says a woman who was with McElfresh during the standoff was believed to be an acquaintance, not a hostage. The incident occurred at the Traveler's Stay Inn on North Cunningham Avenue. A new program is designed to help Illinois veterans with traumatic brain injuries and post-traumatic stress disorder, but the future of funding for the project is a little unclear. A spokeswoman for the Illinois Department of Veterans Affairs says they have enough cash to start the program, but full funding depends on state budget negotiations. Indiana officials plan to use a new law to crack down on motorists who speed or drive recklessly through highway work zones. Under the new law that took effect in Indiana July 1st, the minimum fine for a first offense of speeding in a work zone will be at least $300. Organizers of Champaign County's annual 4th of July Freedom Celebration hope to minimize traffic congestion during tomorrow night's fireworks. Because of construction at Memorial Stadium, the fireworks have been moved this year to the Dodds Park-Parkland College area, where road construction has reduced to Bradley Avenue in front of the park the two lanes. Freedom Celebration Chair Don Wathier says that beginning at 6 tomorrow night, traffic on the Bradley construction area will be one way westbound leading into the Parkland campus. Once the fireworks are over, traffic on that stretch of Bradley will be one way eastbound to let everybody out as quickly as possible. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. This is WILL Urbana. Joining us now for a look at the agricultural weather is Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon to you, Don. Thanks for joining us on this day before July the 4th. Looks like here in the Midwest, Champaign-Urbana area, we might be able to get a few raindrops and then some sunshine, so it'll smell nice and clean on Independence Day. What do you think?
Yeah, it's certainly looking that way. We are looking at a pattern that's going to be, I would say, pretty typical, really, when we look at average temperatures and the chances for precipitation. It's about where we should be heading into early July. Temperatures will be the hottest out in the desert states. That's where the real big heat is going to be here over the next week or so. And what that means for the Midwest and Corn Belt, our temperatures, it'll be near to a little bit above normal. We'll have some hot days, but the excessive heat will stay out west.
And then with that excessive heat, much rainfall, and I'm thinking maybe to the southwest where I believe it's still raining, and they've just had some horrific rainfall there.
And I'm afraid to say they aren't going to get much help. There will be more rain in central and east Texas, more rain for Oklahoma, portions of eastern Kansas and southwest Missouri. That area appears to be in a log jam in the jet stream where there's just a lot of ambient moisture and all the right ingredients for repeating showers and thunderstorms. Those areas will still be quite wet.
And how much rainfall have they had? Are they just in flood stage all over the place?
Well, it's amazing. There are some areas that have exceeded 2 feet of rain in the last 10 days in some portions of east central and northeast Texas. And as you get up into Oklahoma and portions of extreme southeastern areas of Kansas, we have areas 6 to 12 inches of moisture. We're talking about inches of rain like we talk about inches of snow in those areas.
Speaking of inches of rainfall, here in the Midwest, we had a lot of rain over a couple of week period or about a week. But farmers are thinking they might want some more pretty soon. Precipitation, I know, coming potentially tomorrow to maybe half of the area. Will there be widespread enough to help things out?
I think so. We are going to be looking at good precipitation chances for the next couple of weeks all across the Corn Belt Midwest. I think the areas that are going to be most likely going to be the wettest will be the western Corn Belt, western Illinois, Iowa, northern Missouri, the southern portions of Wisconsin and Minnesota. That would include eastern Nebraska and northeastern Kansas as well. But from what we're seeing on our charts, Todd, the pattern is going to remain favorable for occasional showers and thunderstorms over the next couple of weeks with near normal temperatures, really ideal conditions. The areas that we need to watch will be the southwest areas that we just mentioned where they don't need any more rain.
And finally, then we know that there's a lot of pressure on the farmers in the Midwest to produce a good corn crop to feed those ethanol plants and create energy. The same happens to be the case in China. How are they doing?
Very similar to what we're going to see here in the Midwest. We're going to be looking at good chances for occasional rainfall over the next 6 to 10 days across most of the key growing areas of China. And they're also looking at temperature conditions there that are going to be averaging close to normal. So we don't get to say this very often, but for both China and for many areas in North America, the key growing areas are going to have good weather, just about what you want, a little bit of heat and a little bit of moisture.
You have a good 4th of July.
You too.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report on Tuesdays. That is today's CMR. Be sure to tune in tomorrow morning at 8:49, actually on Thursday morning, for our first day look at the day's markets. And remember, you can always listen to today's futures analysis and the weather reports right there on the web. Just go to WILLAG.org. I'm Todd Gleason.